I have received a query via the internet from one Raghava Chaudhary as follows. If Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Brahman is inferior to Krishna, then why do the Vedanta Sutras say Atato Brahma Jignyasa and not Atato Krishna Jignyasa? This is a very good question. Don't expect an answer in 2 minutes. It may take many lifetimes to understand these topics. I'll just enter slightly into them to attempt to answer this question without getting into so many abstrusities of trying to understand Vedanta. One thing, Brahman is not inferior to Krishna. Brahman is Krishna. If we accept the statement of Vedanta, sarvam kalvidang brahma, everything is certainly Brahma, then Krishna is not separate from Brahma. But understanding, why then do we emphasize Krishna? What it comes down to is the impersonal understanding of Vedanta philosophy versus, if you want to put it that way, or being different to the personal understanding. So it's a very big topic which has been debated for centuries and will continue to be debated, no doubt. If Krishna is the ultimate goal of Vedanta, why is he not mentioned there? Vedanta means the end of the Vedas. It means the Upanishads. Vedanta. Often people say Vedanta and they think we're talking about Vedanta Sutras. But the Vedanta Sutras are sutras, aphorisms, which give the meaning of the Upanishads. So I may ask, well, if the Vedanta is meant, well, he specifically asked about, Raghavji has specifically asked about in the Vedanta Sutras. In Vedanta, in the Upanishads, Krishna is mentioned, Vishnu, who, as anyone with even the most rudimentary knowledge of Vedic knowledge knows, Vishnu and Krishna are non-different. So we find in the Kathopanishad, Vishnu is mentioned. Vijnana saratir yastu mana pragrahavan naraha sodvanna paramapnoti tad vishnu paramam padam. Notice the word tad vishnu paramam padam in the Rig Veda. We also have the same words that the vishnu paramam padam, the highest position, or the highest land, the highest world, is that of Vishnu. So, the Kathopanishad states, one who possesses vijnana, realization of the Lord, Vishnu, as his charioteer, and who thus maintains a steady control of the mind, which is like the reins that control the horses of the bodily senses, crosses this material reality and attains the supreme abode of Sri Vishnu, who is the omnipresent super soul known as Vasudeva. That is from the Kathopanishad, which is most inspiring Kathopanishad for those who are seeking the truth, which is Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Now we should inquire into the ultimate reality, the truth. So Kathopanishad is very inspiring, in as much as a Nachiketa wants to know Atma Vidya, even though he's offered by Yamaraj all kinds of material allurements, he's not interested. He wants to know what is the nature of the self, what is the nature of reality. So Atma is also a synonym of Brahma. Well, that's an important point, that if one is going to inquire into Vedanta, to inquire into Brahman, then he should be like Nachiketa and not be interested in anything worldly. It makes no sense to, or it's meaningless to inquire into Vedanta as a worldly, or as an intellectual exercise. It is a fact, I said Vishnu is mentioned in Kathopanishad, but it is a fact that the Upanishads don't directly, well, there are the let's say the prominent Upanishads, which the those famous commentators on the Vedanta Sutras are Shankaracharya, Sri Ramanujacharya, and Madhvacharya. These are the big three, you can say. There are many other commentators, but these are the big three who are generally in those who enter discussion of Vedanta. They quote these three, their different commentaries they made. So, following the lead of Shankara, who chronologically was the first in among these three. He wasn't the first to write a commentary on Vedanta, but he was. His is the oldest known extant commentary. So he restricted himself in studying the Upanishads, Vedanta, in giving the meaning of the Upanishads according to his philosophical perspective. He restricted himself to what are called the 10 principal Upanishads or the 11 principal Upanishads. Let's see if I can remember. There's Isha, Prashna, Kena, Katha, Mundaka, Mandukya, Taittiriya, Aitareya, Chandogya, Brihadaranyaka, and the 11th Shvetashvatara. And there are many, many. There are, apart from that, there are another 107 Upanishads, but these 11 are another 107, 108 main Upanishads, among which are specifically Vaishnava Upanishads, in which the Gopal Tapani, Rama Tapani, Nrsimha Tapani Upanishads, which they directly and clearly speak of Krishna, Rama, Nrsimha, Vishnu being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the principal 11 Upanishads, they are cast in language which can make their meaning seem to be very obscure. Deliberately so, Aitareya Upanishad states, Paroksha Priya Ivahi Devaha. The great personalities who, the iridescent personalities who study these kind of topics, they like indirect statements, abstract, obscure statements. Why that is so has been discussed by various philosophers of Vedanta. One reason is these topics are not meant to be revealed simply by book knowledge. It's not supposed to be clear. One has to have clear consciousness before one can even begin to understand it. That means one has to lead a pure life. One has to be inquisitive to know the absolute truth to the exclusion of all other things. Again, one should not be interested in worldly enjoyment. And another point is that as if we take 11 Upanishads, then Shvetashvatara, then the last verse or the last statement, because a lot of the Upanishads are not in verses, they're in, a lot of the statements are in prose. So the last statement of Shvetashvatara, we can say the last of the last statement of the 11 that Shankara takes as the basis of his exegesis of Vedanta Sutras, is Yasya deve parabhakte yata deve tata goro tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Unto those mahatmas, those great souls, who have full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this, to the same extent in their guru, to such persons the import of all the Vedic teachings are revealed. So it's not meant to be book knowledge or academic knowledge. One is supposed to study it from a guru who will direct one not simply in an intellectual manner, but in a personal manner according to one's mentality and how to purify that. This is not easy. These are not easy topics. Now, if we send a child to school, first, 4 years old, 5 years old, whatever the age may be, we may desire that in future the child will be highly accomplished academically, to the extent that the child can understand E equals MC squared. We've all heard E equals MC squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. I can say it. You can say it. I don't understand it. And you, my dear listener, probably don't understand it. Even theoretically, I don't understand it. I don't know how you can multiply mass. You can multiply a number which signifies mass, but that's not the same as mass. So I don't understand it. And to enter into the complexities of its understanding is not for a four-year-old child, but he has to begin somewhere. He has to begin at the beginning. Einstein also had to go to school at some point and learn 1 + 1 = 2. So it's a progression. Why isn't it stated in Brahma Sutras that Krishna, Brahma Sutras means Vedanta Sutras. It's another term. Actually, in the traditional literature, we'll often find more. We'll find Brahma Sutra. Brahma Sutrani, the Brahma Sutras. That term is used more. Probably the term Vedanta has entered into the English parlance more due to one Swami who introduced the concept of Vedanta to the Western world in the 19th century. So, Krishna is Brahma, but to understand, Brahma is Krishna, but not everyone may be ready to understand that or accept that. The Vedanta Sutras are aimed at persons who are at a certain level of progression. They're actually entering the spiritual path. Those who have been through Karma Kanda, Atato Brahma Jignasa, the first sutra in the Vedanta Sutras. Now, therefore, one should inquire into Brahman. So what does now mean? What is it? What is the significance? It's a sutra. So in a sutra, it is one genre of Sanskrit literature in which every single syllable has to count and is pregnant with meaning. So what does this mean? Now, many of the commentators, they say that now means that when one is fed up of everything material, one has seen the insufficiency of material life, material existence, of repeated birth and death, of enjoyment even in the heavenly planets, then tadvijnanartham sagurum evabhigacchet shrotriyang brahmanishtam in the Upanishads, Mundaka, stated to get that knowledge, tadvijnanartham, for the sake of getting that knowledge, one should approach a guru. So which knowledge is that? That's described prior to that. That that knowledge which transcends the knowledge of this material world. And there's so much. How much can you get into now? There's paravidya, aparavidya, knowledge of the material world and knowledge of transcendence. So this Brahma Jignasa, now then, having understood that nothing in this world is of any value, then one should inquire into Brahman, the nature of transcendence. And again, Nachiket is a very good example of that, who's eager to know what is that. It may also be that one is fortunate, like Shweta Ketu. He wasn't eager to inquire. He had no clue about what is Brahman, and his father kindly taught him. So understanding, it's progressive knowledge. Sarva karma akhilam partha jnane parisamapyate is stated in Bhagavad Gita. That karma, here the term karma in Bhagavad Gita, is understood to mean all those activities which are performed within the Vedic directions. Remember, Vedanta is the end of the Vedas, and before that comes Rig Sama, Rig Yaja Sama Atharva. The Vedas, the Veda Brahmanas, the Veda Sanghitas, Brahmanas, Aranyakas, then you come to the Upanishads. So within the Vedas, mostly, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, the Vedas mostly deal with subjects within the modes of nature. But Gita and Vedanta Sutras, they aim, or they direct, they point us to go beyond material, the material level. They teach us to go to the level of Brahman, that which is beyond material. Now I'm quoting Gita, and both the Vedanta Sutras and the Gita are accepted as expositions on the Vedanta in different ways. And Shankara, of course, the seminal acharya of Advaitavad, of Mayavad, who is considered the seminal acharya of Vedanta in this Kali Yuga. He, of course, accepted Gita as being the essence of all the Upanishads. Sarva Upanishadau Gavo. He stated that the... is that Shankara? But anyway, it's accepted in his line that all the Upanishads, they're likened to a cow, which is the Bhagavad Gita, Dugdha Gopala Nandana. And in this analogy, Krishna is like a cowherd boy who's taking the milk from the cow. In other words, what Krishna is presenting in Bhagavad Gita is not something that Krishna made up. It's the eternal knowledge of the Upanishads, and Krishna is extracting that. Dugdha Gopala Nandana. Vatsa Partha, the calf who inspires the cow to give milk, is Arjuna in this analogy. Vatsupartha, Sudhir Bhokta, and who will drink the milk apart from Arjuna, who will take this this milk of the Upanishads, are persons who are sudhi, who are very good, pure intelligence. And what is the nature of that milk? Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat. The milk is the nectar of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Sutra, they have the same aim, which is to teach us about reality beyond the illusion of this world. And Shankara, of course, who accepted Bhagavad Gita, he made his Gita commentary. He accepted Bhagavad Gita, and in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Lord Krishna says, Vaidaischa Sarvera Hameva Vedyaha. I'm quoting the Gita here because one thing is the Gita hits much more clearly. It's difficult to find the right words here, but the Bhagavad, let's say, it's simple in comparison to Vedanta. The very language is simple in comparison. And yeah, it's spoken by Krishna. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he makes the point, Vaidaisya Sarvera Hameva Vedyaha. All the Vedas are meant for knowing me, Krishna says. So what is it? Upanishads, they give knowledge. Brahma Jnana, this term we find. Brahma Vidya, we find the term Brahma Vidya within the Upanishads. Knowledge of Brahman. So what is that? What is that knowledge? That knowledge is ultimately meant to know Krishna. And Krishna says, Vedanta Krit, Veda Vid Eva Chaham. I, Krishna says, am the compiler of the Vedanta. And of course, we know that Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta, and Vyasadeva is accepted as an avatar of Narayana, as is Krishna. Or Narayana is accepted as an avatar of Krishna. But the point is that Vyasadeva and Krishna, they're both Narayana. So Krishna is the compiler of the Vedanta and he is the knower. If we want to know what is Vedanta, then best to hear from Krishna, who is accepted by all authorities on Vedanta as Vedavit, one who knows things as they are, one who knows the Vedas. But then again, why is it not directly stated in Brahma Sutras? So I've given some reasons, and I'll develop that more. One reason, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mang Prapadyate. It may take many lifetimes of studying knowledge to surrender to Krishna, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatna Sudurlabha, to accept, to come to the realization that Krishna is everything. Krishna is Vasudeva. It's a very important name of Krishna. Vasudeva means he appears as the son of Vasudeva, and it also means he who pervades everything, which is another meaning of the name Vishnu. Such a person is very rare, Krishna says, who comes to that level of understanding. Who comes to that level of understanding that Krishna is all in all. In other words, Krishna is Brahman. How is Krishna Brahman? Or what is Brahma? We say, Atato Brahma Jignasa, that is described. That's the first aphorism of Vedanta Sutras. Now we should inquire into Brahma. And then immediately in the second sutra, Vyasadeva explains what is that Brahman? What are we talking about here? What is Brahman? And he gives it again in a sutra, tersely. Janmadhyasya yataha. That from which everything emanates is Brahman. Janmadhyasya yataha. Janmadi, from which birth, and then what does that mean? Janmadiyasya yataha. This, remember, Vedanta Sutras are a exposition of the Vedanta. And Vedanta means Upanishad. So all the commentators on the Vedanta Sutras, their task is to explain each sutra in terms of statements from the Upanishad. And all of them, whether a Kevaladvaitavadi, Dvaitadvaitavadi, or Achintya Veda Veda Tattvagyani, Vishishtadvaitavadi, Shuddhadvaitavadi, Shuddhadvaitavadi, there are so many different schools, they all accept that these first two aphorisms of Vedanta Sutras are derived from, they correspond to the statement of Taittiriya Upanishad, Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayate. yena jatani jivanti yat prayatya bisang vishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahmeti. Tad vijigyasasva, this is the subject to be inquired into. That is Brahman. What is that? Yatova imani bhutani jayante. That from which everything comes. Janmadi asya yataha. And that's janma. And then yena jatani jivanti, by which everything is maintained. Yat prayatyabhi sangvishanti, that into which everything enters ultimately, that is Brahman. So the same thing is stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, I am the source of everything. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Hetunanena konte ajagadvi parivartate. I oversee everything, Krishna says. So creation, maintenance, and destruction, they're all overseen, or they're all facets of Krishna. So Brahma and Krishna are non-different. But it might take a long time, it may take many lifetimes to understand this. Now this Vedanta Sutras, they describe about Brahman, and opening with the words, Janmadhyasya Yataha. Janmadhyasya Yataha. The Srimad Bhagavatam opens with the same words. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the exegesis of the Brahma Sutras by the author of the Brahma Sutras, Vyasadeva. And he opens with this, with the same terms. He doesn't, well, he opens the Srimad Bhagavatam with an invocation, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Offering respects to Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. And then to what is the subject matter here of Srimad Bhagavatam? The Srimad Bhagavatam hits on the target of the absolute truth, of Brahman. It's a discourse on Brahman. And in the Garuda Purana, it states, Bhashanam Brahma Sutranam, the Srimad Bhagavatam is an exposition or an explanation of the Vedanta Sutras. And in Bhagavata, I'll get through to that later. Anyway, so Janmadhyasya Yataha, it's the same subject matter, but in Bhagavatam describes it unequivocally and clearly. What is that? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That Brahman is Krishna Vasudeva. Jamadhyasya yathonvayaditaratashchates vabhignaswarat tene brahma, tene brahma, that same knowledge. Tene brahma adhikavaye mohyanti yat suryaha tejo vari mridang yathavinimayo yatrachi sargo misha dhamna svena sadani rasta kuhakang satyang parang dhimahi. This first verse of Bhagavatam, there are 18,000 verses, summarizes all the subject of Vedanta Sutras. Please read it. Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find that the very first verse summarizes all the topics of all philosophy and theology, not only within the Vedic corpus, but all over the world. It's tremendous. That's only the first verse. And it points clearly to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, again, why is it not in the Brahma Sutras? Krishna. Why not Atato Krishna Jignasa? Well, it's not everyone can understand this immediately. Manushanang Sahasresu, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Kaschid Yatate Siddhye. Very few people are interested in understanding the highest goal of life. Yatatamapi siddhanam kaschin mangveti tadvata. And Krishna says of those who have understood at some level the absolute truth, hardly one knows me in truth. So the question was, if Brahman is inferior to Krishna, he's not exactly inferior, but the Krishna and Brahman, they're the same, but the subject matter of, or the understanding of Brahman without understanding Krishna as the Supreme, if we simply understand Brahman as an undifferentiated light, that is an incomplete understanding. It's not that Brahman and Krishna are different. An example, there are various examples given. One, first of all, let me quote from the Bhagavatam in this regard. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. That the one truth is perceived of by different knowers of the truth according to their levels as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Brahman means the understanding of the absolute truth as undifferentiated oneness. Paramatma means understanding the supremacy of the Supreme Lord as manifested within the creation, present in every heart, present in every atom. And Bhagavan means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So the example is given, it's something like knowing the sunshine, knowing that there's a sun, the sun globe, and knowing that within the sun globe is the sun God. So this example is given. Why doesn't everyone realize, again, everyone's not on that level. Not everyone can realize E equals MC squared. You have to come to a very high level of understanding to understand how energy equals matter times the speed of light squared. It requires a very high level, and not everyone will come to that level. Many people may be able to say E equals MC squared, but very few people may be able to understand conceptually and the mathematics behind it. Remember that this Atato Brahma Jignasa is for people who are entering into spiritual life, having become fed up with everything in this material world. And not many people come even to that level. And even many people who might say they're interested in Vedanta, are they interested in giving up material enjoyment? There's no meaning if one is not interested in giving up material enjoyment. There's no meaning to discussing Vedanta. It becomes theoretical only. It doesn't serve the point of actually coming to the level of spiritual realization. So why doesn't everyone understand? In Gita, Krishna says, Nahang prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudho yang na bijana tima mebya paramapya. Krishna says, got a little mixed up there. Mamavya yamanutamam. Krishna says that that's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not revealed to everyone. Not everyone understands him. He's covered by the yoga maya potency, Krishna's illusory potency. And thus people who are foolish, they don't want to accept that Krishna is supreme. It's a matter of attitude also. One has to be ready to submit. Instead of thinking, aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman, therefore I am all pervading, I am supreme. One should understand, I am Brahman, but as Krishna is described by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma. Krishna is spiritual. We are also spiritual by nature. We are Satchidanandamai, eternal, full of eternal, blissful, and conscious. And Krishna is also. The Supreme Brahman is also, but superlatively. And we are very small. He is very great. We are very small. So persons who are not ready to accept that, they won't be able to understand. Atapite, this Bhagavatam, Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasada leshanu grahita eva hi janati tatvam bhagavang mahims no nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvam. Not everyone understands Krishna. It requires Krishna's mercy to be able to understand him. If one can get a little of his mercy, one can understand him. If one tries to understand without standing under, if one thinks I will understand everything just by my own intelligence, then we won't understand. Let's consider, our own intelligence has for unlimited lifetimes been wandering in this material world trying to enjoy it. We're fools. Now, it is possible to have Brahman realization without Krishna realization. That's accepted in the Bhagavatam. But that realization is not complete realization. Because complete, just like realization of the sun, does not mean simply to understand there's sunshine. Nor even to understand that the sun comes from the sun globe. But to understand that the sun globe is directed by the deity of the sun god. That's complete realization. So in the same way, to merge into the light of Brahman, that is not complete. Therefore, Bhagavatam states, yenye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayastabhavad avishuddha buddhaya aruhya kritsrena parang padang tathav patantyadho nadrita yushmadangai. In this verse is stated, I'll just go through it from the beginning. There are others who do not surrender to Krishna. Beautiful lotus-eyed Krishna. They are liberated and they think they're fully liberated, but they're not, because their consciousness is not fully purified. Therefore, even though with tremendous effort over many lifetimes of very difficult practices and austerities, studying Vedanta is not, again, it's not a book, just a book that you read. It's one has to, on the Jnana Marga, one has to accept tapasya, that word is there. In the, that's essential part of the path of Brahman realization, accepting austerities. So even though with great difficulty they may become liberated, but they fall again from that position because they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet. Bhaktya mam abhijanati, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. I can be understood, Krishna says, by bhakti. Now, if it's so rare to attain Brahman realization, and the ultimate level of realization is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why do we find so many bhaktas? That's a relevant question. If you have to go through, first of all, you have to go through karma, the karma marga, and then through the jnana marga, and then come to the bhakti marga, but you don't. It is not necessary to go from karma to jnana to bhakti. One can go directly from karma to bhakti. And it's quite possible and very common that people whose motive is for karma, to enjoy this material world, approach Krishna, which is in bhakti. They pray to him. And this is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna himself. Chaturvidha bhajante manjana janos kritana arjuna artho jignyasur artharti jnani cha bharatarshava. Krishna says that four kinds of people approach me. Pious people. They may be desiring wealth, which is completely for material enjoyment. They may be, that's called artharti. Then artha, they may be distressed and they approach Krishna, please deliver me from the miseries of my... It's not that they want to be liberated from this world, they want to enjoy it, which is material, but they approach Krishna to remove the obstacles in their enjoyment. And jignyasu, they may be curious to understand what's all this philosophy. So they're not... So jignyasu, they're on the beginning the jnana platform, but on the karma platform, one may be completely materialistic and approach Krishna. But then, by approaching Krishna, if they can come directly to bhakti, without going through various philosophical speculations, lucubrations, and so on. But Krishna does say in the next verse, udara sarva evaite, that all such persons who approach me they're good. Their intelligence is expanded. In other words, if someone simply wants to enjoy this material world, that's foolish. But, and if you don't agree with that, then you shouldn't be listening to this talk at all, because, again, Brahma Jignasa, inquiry into the ultimate truth, begins when one is fed up with trying to enjoy this material world, which is a foolish endeavor. Now, anyone who approaches Krishna, even for material enjoyment, that means their intelligence is starting to expand. But Krishna says, Jnani Tvatmaiva Me Matam. But the best of them all is the Jnani, one who knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am subordinate to him. Krishna says, I consider that person to be me, which doesn't mean he becomes me. We have to understand every statement in context with all the other statements in Shastra. But it means that Krishna accepts him to be on the same, he accepts him into his own group, accepts him to be accepts him on the spiritual platform, accepts him into his path of love. So, one has to come above the level of karma. If one is approaching Krishna, that's very good. But the Jnani, in this context, means one who is, he knows Krishna is supreme. He's gone beyond the platform of approaching Krishna for something that I can get from Krishna. Now, again, why there are so many bhaktas? That is, if Brahman realization is so rare and understanding of Krishna is the ultimate level of Brahman realization, why are there so many bhaktas in the world today? Well, many may have begun to approach Krishna through the for material reasons, but by the grace of the great acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas, by coming to Krishna, they're directed to surrender to Krishna fully without any material desires. It is a great mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that in this Kali Yuga, the most materialistic age of all, he has made the bhakti marg open to, very freely open. Especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given a very easy process by which one can very easily approach Krishna in pure devotional service. So we should inquire about Krishna. These are the best inquiries. Inquire about the Supreme, yes? Then where should we go? We should go to the Srimad Bhagavatam. That will be very helpful for us in this Kali Yuga. I quoted that. Artho Yang Brahma Sutranam, the best original, the complete commentary on the Bhagavatam is the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. It's the original commentary on Vedanta Sutra. We think that that Shankara gave the first commentary. Well, we know that that's not exactly true, but the oldest extant commentary is that by Shankara. But actually, no, Vedanta Sutra commentary, the first is the Srimad Bhagavatam, and is written by the author himself, Vyasadeva. All the sutras, the Vedanta sutras, are thoroughly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we find that when we find in the beginning of the Bhagavatam that this Bhagavatam was spoken by Suta Goswami to the sages at Naimisharanya, who asked him various questions. He replied to them as follows: Munaya sadhu prishto ham bhavadbhya loka mangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma supraseedati. He said, thank you very much. I really appreciate your questions. Such questions are conducive to the benefit of the whole world because they are in relation to Krishna, and thus they can fully satisfy the self. Yenatma supersedati. Now, a little later in Bhagavatam, in the second chapter of the 18,000 verse work, we find Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Adhokshaje Ahaitukya Pratihata Yayatma Supersedati. The same, Atma Supersedati. How we can actually become happy. And that is stated, how we, Atma, understanding ourselves to be spiritual, how we can actually be happy. Why does one inquire into Brahman in the first place? Because he realizes this material world is miserable. I don't want to be happy. I want to be happy, but all endeavors at material happiness come to nothing. They're all useless. So I should inquire into that reality which is beyond the causes of suffering. But how? What is the complete understanding of this? What is the ultimate dharma? Savai pung sang paro dharma yato bhaktir adhokshaje. To that bhakti, what is that? That will give us supreme happiness. Bhakti to adhokshaje. Adhokshaje is a very important word. It is synonymous with Brahma. It is that which is not perceivable by our mundane senses. And bhakti to that person, which is without any material motive, or any personal motive, and which is absolute, focused, without any distraction, that we're completely absorbed in it, that only can completely satisfy the self. Which indicates that the idea of simply going to Brahman without accepting Krishna will not fully satisfy us. Actually, this whole idea of impersonal realization, it will disappoint us, because we think we're getting something so wonderful, but it doesn't. It's definitely far, far higher than the level of material enjoyment, but it doesn't fully satisfy the self, because this, as Brahma, we are as living beings who are part of the Supreme. That's English terminology, excuse me. Mamaivangsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. As parts and parcels of the Supreme, who is Krishna, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, we are meant to be linked with Krishna by the process of devotional service. Anato pashamang sakshat bhakti yoga madhok saje. Lokasya janato vidvans chakre sadvata sanghitam. This Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by Vyasadeva to give knowledge to people who do not know that all material miseries can be directly mitigated by the linking process of bhakti yoga, by linking with Krishna, yoga. You see, yoga, Brahma, Dharma, everything, jnana, everything is subsumed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives that, but if we simply try to go for impersonal realization, avoiding Krishna, anadrita yushmadangraya, neglecting Krishna, it's not possible to be fully satisfied. We have great hope that it will fully satisfy us, but it doesn't. And in that respect, it resembles material enjoyment, which in the beginning we think, oh, it's something wonderful. But at the end, we find out it's not. Well, material enjoyment, what is that? That is described, material enjoyment, sensual enjoyment. It's like the description in Bhagavad Gita, Vishayendriya Samyogam Yatadagri Mritopamam Pariname Vishamiva Sasukam Rajasam Smritam. Material enjoyment is the interaction of the senses with the sense objects. And we think, this is wonderful. But in course of time, it turns into poison. Now, Brahman realization is far above that, but it's similar inasmuch as we think, ah, wonderful, but there's nothing there in that impersonal realization. There's nothing there. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything that exists is brahma. All of reality is brahma. But if we take Brahman as the impersonal realization pointed to by Shankara, if we take it that there's no form, there's no personality, there's no variegatedness, there's no colors, and there are terms like that, nirguna, arupam, anama, we'll find in the Vedantic language. Therefore we have to understand it all very clearly, that anama means the Supreme has no name, but then Vishnu Sahasranama, Vishnu has 1,000 prominent names, and Shankara himself accepts, he has commented on Vishnu Sahasranama. So Shankara himself knows, but he's just pointing to one level. But if we think that the Supreme is without personality, and it's all just light that we have to merge into, then there's actually nothing there. But rasovai saha, Taittiriya Upanishad says, the absolute truth is full of rasa. It's full of taste. It's not simply niraka. There's no material form, there's spiritual form. So, impersonal realization will never satisfy us. And actually this philosophy doesn't make any sense anyway, that ultimately there's nothing there. You may say, well, Brahman's there, but what is Brahman? If you say, well, no heads, no hands, no exchange, no personality, no variegatedness, no form, it all comes to nothing. It's neti-neti, it's only negation. But where's the positive? Then it becomes like Buddhism, shunya, there's nothing there. The Shankara and his followers, they argued Buddhism, but it comes to much the same thing. However, we find from the Vedic language, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, the absolute truth is all auspicious and beautiful. So that ultimate reality is Krishna. Krishna is reality, the beautiful. The reality, the all-beautiful, the all-wise, the all-loving. All reality is in Krishna. All beauty is in Krishna. All love is in Krishna. All sweetness is in Krishna. All reality is Krishna. All reality, all truth is Krishna. All wisdom is Krishna. All beauty is Krishna. All enjoyment is Krishna. All reality, beauty, joy, truth, everything comes from Krishna. Krishna is the fountainhead of everything. Whatever we... This is what we yearn for. This is what we really want. Yayatma supraseedati. We want to be fully blissful. That is possible with Krishna. And everything that we conceive of without relation to Krishna, it is a form, it's simply a form of illusory understanding. Ritertam yat pratiyeta, na pratiyetma chatmani, yad vidyad atmanomayam, yatabhaso yatatamaha. As Krishna states, we'll find in Bhagavatam, that sarvam kalvidam brahma, everything is brahma, but our perception of anything without perception of Krishna, it's not ultimate reality. We may think that it's reality, but it's not. It's just like a reflection within the darkness. So even this impersonal realization, it's not a complete understanding of reality, and it will not satisfy our heart. So we should yearn to know about Krishna, inquire about Krishna. How will we do that? Well, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the complete exposition of Krishna. Complete! Krishna is unlimited, but at least for what we can understand, how much we can understand, we find from Srimad Bhagavatam. And ultimately, Krishna is to be loved. He's not a subject like entomologists. They study butterflies and different kinds of insects. It's in other words, Brahman is not ultimately a subject of to be understood by us, but raso vaisaha. Brahman is the supreme lovable, is Krishna. Hare Krishna. Want to understand Vedanta? According to Shankara's system, you have to be a sannyasi. According to Shankara's system, you have to give up all attempts to understand this world, to enjoy this world. Become a sannyasi. Vedanta Patan Dhyan, Sannyasira Dharma. The dharma, the proper activity for a sannyasi, according to the followers of Shankara, is studying the Vedanta and dhyana, meditation. It's not a part-time job. But you can jump from karma to bhakti without going through the jnana stage, simply by surrendering to Krishna immediately. We don't have to take many lifetimes. Hare Krishna! All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindhubhya eva cha patita nam pavane bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namo namaha.